Hi, and welcome back to Sunday Morning. I'm Nathan Scott. Joining me in studio right now is the Director of Programming for the Maryland Film Festival. That's coming up in just a few weeks. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the films that are being programmed, some of the other filmmaking opportunities in the state of Maryland, along with ways that you can enjoy the festival yourself. Again, the Director of Programming, Scott Braid. Scott, thank you so much for coming in this morning.
Thank you. Good morning. It's good to be here.
So for someone who's never been to the festival, maybe they've heard about it before and never gone, or maybe this is the first time that they're finding out that it exists, what can you tell me about the Maryland Film Festival, how it started, how long it's been going, and some of the movies that are coming this year?
So the festival was started back in the late 90s by Jed Dietz, the founding director, and you know, we're in our 21st edition this year. We are a general interest international film festival, which means we program films from all over the world. We do have a focus on American independent films, but you know, we still like to get a broad view of the world cinema picture at any given moment when the festival is happening. So we have a focus on short films in our opening night, which is sort of an unusual thing for a festival. Each year we devote our opening night program to a selection of what we feel are the best short films in that year. We have about 12 shorts programs in the festival and then about 40 feature films. So a total of about 140 films from all over the world will be in Baltimore in just a few weeks.
So can you tell me a little bit about, you know, you mentioned the festival started in the late 90s. Can you tell me about how you got involved with the festival? Have you been with it the entire time?
So I joined the festival in 2008 as a seasonal staff. I was coordinating panel discussions and workshops in our then tent village. And then through a series of events, I kept working with the festival seasonally through the next year. And then a full-time position opened up, and I applied and started programming.
Were there any films in you know, your first year as a seasonal employee or anything leading up to you accepting the job as a director of programming that really impacted you and made you want to keep going back year after year?
Well, I think what actually drew me into the Maryland Film Festival was the John Waters picks every year. You know, John Waters, the legendary local filmmaker, each year picks a film to present within the Maryland Film Festival, which he'll be doing again this year. And he always picked films that I was aware of from, you know, my from filmmakers I was aware of from the international film scene or from repertory classic films. And I was always interested in his take on them. And that's sort of what drew me into the festival early on. And then I started visiting other film festivals in other cities and sort of got the bug for film festivals.
Is film something that you've been involved in for your entire life in a festival capacity, or have you done behind-the-scenes stuff as well?
Yeah, so I'm a graduate of film school. I am a filmmaker, although I don't have much time these days to focus on that. But I have always loved film. I managed a great video store here in Baltimore that is now defunct, sadly, called Video American. And, you know, that was sort of my first film school. And then I went back to college and actually went to film school and then, you know, ended up working at the festival. So I've always had a love of film from a very young age, which was even fostered at my local video store when I was a kid. So really, you know, it's been a lifelong pursuit.
So when you are selecting movies to be programmed at the Maryland Film Festival, what are some of the things that you're looking for? Are you looking for a particular style or viewpoint, or how does that process work?
I mean, really, our first criteria is, you know, our passion for the film. We're looking for films that we really connect with, that we think are saying things that need to be said or saying things in interesting ways that, you know, haven't been covered before. We're really looking for people that are, you know, pushing the medium forward and, you know, really diving deep into issues with documentaries, experimenting with form, you know, both in documentary and narrative, and, you know, taking storytelling to a different place. So, and then within that, you know, we try to have a good mix of, you know, things that are, you know, serious issues that need to be looked at, and things that are fun and lighthearted, and, you know, things from this country, things from outside perspectives around the world, you know, to really sort of, you know, our motto is film for everyone. So we're trying to, you know, really hit that note to offer something that would be of interest to everyone. You know, we have some kids programming. We have things that will appeal to people that are casual film goers, and then things that will appeal to people that are hardcore cinephiles.
And that's an important thing to emphasize as well, which is that, you know, being called the Maryland Film Festival, it would be a mistake to think that because it's called the Maryland Film Festival, that means that the films focus solely on Maryland. It's although there will be some mixed in that have a Maryland or a Baltimore spin, the name is more a reference just to the fact that it takes place in Maryland, but really it has an international scope as far as the sorts of projects that you bring in at any given year.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. I mean, we 100% support the local film community. We have a number of locally produced or locally affiliated films every year. But we program them because we feel that they are, you know, up to the level of all the other films that we're programming from around the world, and not just because they're from Baltimore or Maryland. You know, we're putting local filmmakers on a international stage because we think they deserve to be there with the rest of the filmmakers from around the world. We have a program this year that is comprised of 5 Baltimore produced short films, 3 documentaries and 2 narratives. And we thought this is the first time we've done this, but we just had such a strong crop of local shorts this year that we felt like these 5 films in particular were really in conversation with each other about Baltimore and what Baltimore is, and, you know, looking at both, you know, obviously the problems in the city that we, you know, all are aware of and talk about a lot, and then some of the positive things that are going on in the city, you know, and it's a really interesting mixture of films that has, you know, creates like a really interesting tapestry of the city. But all those films, you know, as I said, they're not just programmed because they're Baltimore films. They're programmed because they're incredible films, and they stand right up next to, you know, all of the award-winning films that we have coming from other festivals. And oftentimes there are local films that have gone to international festivals before they come to us. Matt Porterfield is one of our most prominent local filmmakers. He travels the world with his films, and we are lucky enough to be able to premiere them in Baltimore.
And this is a great opportunity for aspiring filmmakers within the state of Maryland, or people who want to get into the film business, even for people who are, as you mentioned earlier, cinephiles themselves. Because on the one hand, you have this international crowd, the people who are bringing their movies to the festival, getting to see Baltimore, getting to experience it, get a feel for the location, for the community. At the same time, the community is getting some international exposure, getting to sort of rub elbows with all this, you know, very diverse group of filmmakers who are all converging, because at the end of the day, it's all about the movies. And we'll talk about the movies in just a moment, but before we get to that, I wanted to talk about the experience of watching the movies. Now, with this being a film festival, that means that the theatrical experience is a key part of this, and you've now been in a recently renovated theater. It's been within the past 3 years, I think.
Yeah, we opened with the 2017 festival.
The Parkway, if I remember
correctly.
What has the change been like moving from the prior location to now having a dedicated space for the film festival?
Well, I mean, the journey to the theater has been wonderful. You know, it's a 104-year-old theater that we were able to rescue. It sat vacant for 40 years. We were able to rescue it and restore it to its original purpose, which is really exciting. It's been wonderful to have a year-round home for the festival. So really, you know, now the festival doesn't ever stop. We're programming 365 days a year, but these 5 days in particular are a real smorgasbord of you know, of films from around the world. And, you know, I think having a play, I mean, watching films in a theater is such an important thing. We obviously live in a time where you can access films on your phone, on your iPad, on your laptop, mm-hmm. but the communal experience of sharing that viewing experience and feeling, you know, going through that journey of emotions and discovery and all that together and feeling other people's reactions and, you know, the sort of deferring to the film mm-hmm. in a darkened space, is an experience that you can't repeat when you're distracted at home and have your phone out and you're kind of watching it on the laptop while you're typing, you know, your next post on Facebook or whatever. It's been great to have that space that encourages that sort of, you know, more reverent viewing experience and broader engagement with the film. And to your point, with the festival, we really have an opportunity to bring audiences and filmmakers together. I think that's one of the most important aspects of the festival, and that a lot of times those audience members are aspiring filmmakers themselves, and it gives them a chance to ask questions and, you know, get advice from people that are working and succeeding on the festival circuit and in the film industry.
And, you know, I'd mention as well, talking about the community of the theatrical experience, everyone loves their summer blockbusters, their big screen musicals, the sorts of films that you could catch at, your local megaplex,
right.
Whether that be a Cinemark or an AMC or whatever. But one of the great things about the Parkway is that it's falls right in line with the real legacy in Baltimore of having these fantastic historic small theaters, whether that be things like the Senator or the Charles or, you know, in this case, the Parkway.
Yeah.
Just being able to appreciate not only the film that you're watching, whether it be local or internationally based, but also the history of the building that you're in. This is a building that, you know, despite its disuse in more recent years, this was at the center of the Baltimore community when it was first built, and now it has a chance to be the center of that community again. If you're just tuning in, my name is Nathan Scott. You are listening to Sunday Morning, and I'm speaking with Scott Braid, the director of programming from the Maryland Film Festival, which will be coming up in just a few weeks. And before we move on to the films, could you please remind me, when are the dates for the Maryland Film Festival?
So the festival takes place May 8th through the 12th this year. It starts on Wednesday night with our opening night shorts program, mm-hmm. and we'll close Sunday evening with our very exciting, but yet to be announced, closing mm-hmm. night film.
Right.
So keep your eye out for that.
Well, we have certainly a lot to look forward to, and we'll let you know where you can keep your eye out for that announcement in just a little while. But I'd like to move on now to the films themselves. We've talked a lot about the theatrical experience. It's time to find out about what people will be experiencing. So, you know, director of programming, that means that you have an intimate knowledge of all the stuff that's going to be playing at the festival. I know that when it comes to picking favorites in these scenarios, it can be a little bit like picking favorite children. But are there any standouts among the selections these year that you're really excited about people having a chance to see?
Yeah, there's. I mean, as you said, I love them all, and it's hard to pick just a few. But you know, I think some of the things that people will really connect with, we have a few documentaries that are. Telling really interesting stories about, you know, modern life and our world. We just were able to add this incredible documentary called For Sama, mm-hmm. which just won the South by Southwest Documentary Jury Award.
Right. Huge Austin Festival.
Yeah, huge Austin Festival. It takes place every year. It's actually a film, tech, and music festival that takes over the city of Austin each mm-hmm. March. But the film is about a mother who's a journalist, a Syrian journalist, and her husband's a doctor. And she was a student when the uprising started in Syria. Mm-hmm. And, you know, her and her husband were there throughout the entire siege of Aleppo. They set up a hospital and were helping people. And this documentary is really a love letter to her daughter that was born during this incredibly challenging time, so that she can see what her family went through to sort of make it through this war-torn time in, right. in this horrible conflict.
Yeah.
And then we have another documentary, a little less intense and more fun, called American Factory. This premiered at Sundance and was picked up by Netflix, actually, for their distribution arm. And it's about a Chinese company that opens an auto glass manufacturer in an old GM plant in Ohio, trying to expand their network into the U.S. And it's a really fascinating look at the culture clash between the Chinese management and their style of, you know, and thinking around production and efficiency, and that sort of clashing with like the American workers that worked at the GM plant and had been unionized and making, you know, much higher wages, and sort of like, you know, everyone's excited that manufacturing jobs are coming back to the area, but then it quickly becomes apparent that there's really different ideas about how this thing is going to go. And the filmmakers followed them for a number of years. It's a really fascinating portrait of, you know, international business and coming to small town America.
And both really giving you an opportunity, both documentaries, that is, to walk in someone else's shoes and experience these events, whether they be, you know, these war-torn parts of the world or, you know, American cities, to get an experience and a perspective that you wouldn't have or wouldn't have an opportunity to get on your own.
Yeah. And if you know, current events are a little too heavy for you right now, and the news cycle's got you down, we also have an incredible documentary about competitive dog grooming called Well Groomed.
I didn't know it was a thing.
Yes. So these are people that travel the country participating in competitions where they quaff and dye their poodles in, you know, all sorts of incredible ways. They basically make like topiary sculptures of their poodles, who seem to love it. And you know, yeah, it follows you know, several of these contestants as they go through and try to win the gold. And it actually also features a score by local musician Dan Deacon, which is pretty wild. So really fun film.
You know, as you mentioned, there's documentary programming, there's programming for kids as well as a part of this. Just really something for all ages, if you just get everyone down there. This, again, taking place the first Wednesday through the second Sunday in May. Can you tell me, Netflix is something that's talked about a lot in Hollywood circles and in filmmaking circles. How has that affected the film festival? I would imagine there are both some pros and some cons to, you know, the fact that Netflix oftentimes get films made that wouldn't have been made in the studio system.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, for us, Netflix has been a surprisingly open and willing to screen films with the festival. You know, they seem to be very amenable to doing the sort of festival circuit. You know, with theatrical, they're sort of spottier, you know. I mean, they obviously had a big theatrical run with Roma this past winter, and the whole awards thing around that. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that goes straight to Netflix that doesn't have a chance for that theatrical experience, which, you know, I think maybe they're coming around in some ways, which is exciting. But you know, yeah, it would make me sad to think that a lot of those films will never see the inside of a theater, at least for the general public.
Right. But that's just one more reason to go to the film festival, because as things stand right now, you're getting access to movies and, you know, having the opportunity to show them on that size screen that, you know, just will not show up in a megaplex in other parts of the country.
Yeah.
one of the other positive things that I guess sort of the democratization of filmmaking has, one of the side effects of things like Netflix and Amazon Prime is that more and more people are being able to access the resources needed to make their own films. And, one of the big parts of getting into filmmaking is getting noticed, and film festivals are a great way to do that. I understand that you have a screenwriting competition that takes place during the festival as well?
Yeah, so the screenwriting competition actually is... The winners are announced at the festival.
Okay.
So it takes place before the festival, and then we have a pitch competition, which actually takes place the day before the festival starts. So Tuesday, May 7th, and that will actually be at the Parkway Theater. And that is sponsored by the Baltimore Filmmakers Collective. So, there's real opportunities with those, both of those, and our panel discussions, where we have, local and international filmmakers discussing, in conversation with each other, discussing how various aspects of filmmaking are handled for them, or challenges they've faced, or it's a real opportunity for people that are trying to break into the field to network with them and to learn from them.
And, the script writing in particular, as you mentioned, this takes place, the submissions and participating in the competition and taking place before the festival itself.
Right.
So is this part of the year-long festival programming that takes place at Parkway?
Yeah. So we do have a number of initiatives where we work with local filmmakers. We do collaborative programming with the local filmmaking community. We of course host screenings and events with the local filmmaking community. We've hosted theatrical runs for a number of local films, and special events, self-distributed films, films that are with smaller indie distributors, and films that are even with some bigger distributors. We have monthly series that involve, we have the Baltimore Women's Filmmakers Alliance that hosts a monthly series at the Parkway, where we bring in filmmakers, either other local filmmakers or national filmmakers, and often have events and discussions around those films, with a focus on, obviously focusing on women filmmakers. We have a locally curated animation series called Sweaty Eyeballs, which will also be the hosts of our Saturday morning cartoon at the festival. So we're doing a lot of collaborating with the community. We're trying to provide a lot of opportunities for local filmmakers, and we want to do more. So we're actually going to be, we're actually sitting down with local filmmakers to hear what they want more of from us.
And that was actually my next question, which are, going on, talking about the late 90s, coming up on 21 years. What are some of the ways in which you would like to see the film festival grow in the next 5 or 10 years?
Well, I definitely would like to see, the film festival has been on a trajectory to be more of a voice in the festival world. We've gotten great notice in the New Yorker, Art Forum, several major national publications, international publications, for our programming and for our premiering of some independent films that were sort of missed by other major festivals. So I'd like to see us continue to grow in that direction. I'd like to see us continue to grow in ways that we can support filmmakers, not just by screening their films, but in other ways, help continuing to help connect them and foster relationships between filmmakers locally and nationally. I'd like to see us, continue to broaden our efforts to support local filmmakers. I think as we raise the profile of the festival, we'll be able to do more and more of that. I want this festival to keep growing into, it's heading towards being a pretty, it's a very well thought of festival by filmmakers.
Right.
And we have to sort of, we're working on getting the rest of the world to recognize that too, that it's a big event and it's a special thing. And we're going to premiere We're going to have the world premiere of one film this year and two North American premieres of pretty established filmmakers. So we're moving in exciting directions, and we're going to keep doing that and keep our, you know, one of our main points of love from filmmakers is like sort of the way the atmosphere that we provide. It's right. Laid back. It's but serious. You know, yeah. It has a certain vibe that I also want to keep as we grow.
And you know, if the location of other famous film festivals is proof of anything, from Sundance to Telluride to Tribeca, you've got festivals that are super successful, super influential in a desert, at a ski resort, and on a neighborhood in New York. There's no reason why Baltimore can't be the home of the next influential film festival.
Absolutely
if
not.
If people would like to find out more about all the stuff we've talked about, the movies, the year-round programming, the screenwriters competition, what are some of the best ways to get in contact?
So the number one way would be connecting with us through our website, mdfilmfest.com. Mm-hmm. That's MD as in the abbreviation for Maryland, and then filmfest.com. Mm-hmm. And then you can also reach us on various social media platforms at MDFF Parkway. Mm-hmm. That's our Instagram handle, our Twitter handle, and I believe our Facebook name. Mm-hmm. So you can connect with us on all those platforms. And you can also reach out to info@mdfilmfest.com if you want to send us an email.
And remember as well, all those means of communication that you just mentioned, that is the best way to stay tuned for the special announcement for the closing film for the Maryland Film Festival.
Absolutely. And there's, you know, you'll be able to see the entire lineup on our website and find out how to purchase tickets. We even offer an all-access pass for people that really want to mm-hmm. jump in with yeah. both feet. So all of that is right there on our website.
All right. Scott, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was Scott Braid, the director of programming from the Maryland Film Festival. I'm Nathan Scott. You are listening to Sunday Morning. Thanks so much for tuning in. And until next time, have a great day.